We were in Revelation chapter 13. We finished up in 8. Now, by the way, next week we will not have Bible study here next week. David Madison, you hear that? No Bible study here next week.
Just for us?
Yeah, just for you guys. Yes. But next week, I hope everybody goes to Shingle House, the Grace Bible Independent Baptist Church, to hear Brother McVeigh. All right. And people all the way from middle of Pennsylvania will come. That's good. All the way down to southern Pennsylvania. Wow. This is big stuff. All right. They're fleeing all the fallout from the primaries. All right.
Now listen.
All right, Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. We had looked at 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power was given unto him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. All right, 13, 8, that's where we're at. All right, very good. You got a good mama. All right. Now, here's the thing again. Kindreds. People of the same family. Nations, in your Bible, that always meant ethnic, okay? Italians would be one nation, English would be another nation, each of the African tribes had their own nations, each of the tribes in the Middle East had their own nations. It's not until we get into modern times that we get into the definition of political of being a people, where you mix together Africans, Irishmen, Englishmen, Frenchmen, everything into one nation. We the people of the United States. But when you see that Bible term here, nations, that's what it's dealing with. Tongues, we understand it, the various languages that go about. All right, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Who? You're talking about the beast, the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Is that the Antichrist's name is written, not written?
Their name's not written, okay? If their names aren't written there, they'll end up worshiping him.
Oh, okay.
All right. 9, if any man have an ear, let him hear. Of course, that's a big thing the Lord always talked about. People having ears, but they hear not. All right, the Vadises are here. That means some of you are going to have to behave.
All right.
Some of you.
Yeah, not everybody, but some of them.
Leading by example.
Yeah, Sharon's a little wounded now. She only whipped 2 or 3 of you, you know. All right. Revelation 13, verse 10. Where's Revelation? That's right. You're exactly right. Last one. Now find Revelation 13. Chapter 13.
Yep.
Then verse 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. So this is that whole idea, as a man soweth, so shall he reap. Okay? The old timers call it what goes around comes around. In the East they call it karma. In other words, you want to sow this kind of thing, you want to take people into captivity, you're in captivity. You want to kill people with the sword, you'll be killed with the sword. Peter?
How come David didn't die by the sword then?
In other words, what he did is under commandment of God. All right? It's just like a sheriff taking a man into captivity. It's really not talking about that type of thing. In other words, this is a justice given out to people, and that's the context of it. All right? Not a bad question. All right. Now it goes on, it says, verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Thank you very much. So here's this idea again. Another leader arises. It's another form of the Antichrist, somebody else to try to rule the world. He's got 2 horns like a lamb, so right away. People are going to misunderstand him, aren't they? But when he speaks, he's going to speak as a dragon. Who's the dragon? The Bible tells you the dragon's the devil. Okay, so he's going to look like a lamb, but he'll speak like the devil. Now it goes on and it says this, verse 12, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So again, here's where he gives him that resurrection. It's a deadly wound. It's a wound that kills him. But the beast resurrects him. So everybody then worships him. And I go back to this thing, and I've said it before, but go real quickly with me to Romans chapter 1. One of the things to understand about the devil is this. We used to play a game when we were kids. Anything you can do, I can do better. And we'd, you know, do something, the other one would try to do it. You'd hang by your knees, they'd hang by their knees. You know, you'd hop on one foot all the way to the house. They'd hop on one foot all the way to the house. Well, the devil does that with God. And we've gone over that. How many ways the devil tries to duplicate what God does. So one of the things God does is he resurrects people from the dead. So the devil resurrects somebody from the dead. Okay? So, and again, people get fooled by that, don't they? You'll find people, oh, they went to some faith healer, they went to some medium. Oh, that medium told me was the truth. Well, about 95% of the time is that 5% shows they're a fraud. Okay?
Yeah.
Right? You know, if I gave you a solution that was 95% water and 5% dog urine, you know, do you want it? No. All right. You know, you wouldn't want something like that. But people will accept that with truth. Okay? They'll just have a little bit of junk in there, and that's fine. And well, God gives you 100% truth. Now watch this. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So how did God declare him to be the Son of God? Well, Tanya gave one part of it. Let's take what she said out, okay? You've done that to you all your life. Let's just do it to you now, all right? All right, so let's look at verse 4 again. We're going to take according to the Spirit of holiness out. And declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. What did we miss there? According to the Spirit of holiness. The one thing the devil cannot duplicate is holiness. I'm not talking about religious living, right? Going to a Hindu community, you'll see people living religiously. Go to a good Mormon community, you'll see people living religiously. I'm talking about holiness, pure holiness on the inside. That's what the devil cannot duplicate. That's what distinguished the resurrection of Jesus Christ from all other resurrections. It was done according to the Spirit of holiness. Everything in the scripture matched exactly what he did. You go to people today, going to some charismatic church. You know, grandma's laying there flopping like a fish in a frying pan, and, you know, some other guys running around saying some junk here and there, whatever else, and you try to show them that's not scripture. They show you 10 verses that agree with it. Okay? But the problem is, those verses aren't in context. They violate other verses right there with it. Let the women keep silence in the church. The context is tongues. Okay? So they only take part of it. Nothing of the resurrection of Jesus Christ had to be strained. Mm-hmm. Nothing, you didn't have to squint and look at it just right to see it. Okay? In other words, everything about his resurrection was exactly like the scriptures say, according to the Spirit of holiness. So back to Revelation, what ends up happening, the beast comes along, he raises up the other beast who had the deadly wound, he's been healed now, and they all worship him. Because people are looking for something like that. You know, people really enjoy being fooled. You know, you ever wonder at this thing, you get a phone call, we just wanted to contact you because, you know, you didn't answer our last query about your car warranty might be over. Who's spending all that money to make those phone calls? They're making money at it. There's still people all over who will buy that second warranty. When I was in South Carolina, some of the older people remember Jim and Tammy Baker of the Praise the Lord's PTO Club. And they had this unbelievable kingdom. At that time, Ronald Reagan was on their show, major politicians would go on there, campaign off their show and everything. And they sold lifetime memberships to this theme park they had. Then when they ran slow on money, they sold second lifetime memberships, where you could buy a second lifetime membership. And people bought them. All right? And, you know, when they finally got busted for lies over the mail and that kind of thing, their bathtubs had solid gold faucets sitting on a solid gold toilet to do your solid whatever, you know. But people fall for that junk. When the Antichrist comes, the world's prepped for it. It's one of the reasons that the world is beginning to accept such perverted, gross, awful things as really being okay. Okay? Just everybody's getting used to that. Peter Uckman used to say the only reason Barbara Streisand was a movie star is the devil was trying to prep the world for ugliness being pretty. But regardless of that, all right. Now it says this, verse 13, and he doeth great wonders, so that he make a fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Wouldn't that, if I could step out there in the yard and command fire to come down, a lot of people would say that's pretty big stuff, okay?
Good bonfire material.
Yeah, but again, it goes back to this idea, the devil's going to come with that kind of power. And you know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. In other words, there's already elements of that out there working. And people are looking for it. They're just, so happy to find it. That's why God gave you an exact Bible to know what's right and what's wrong. So that you can look at it and see. Groucho Marx used to say, what are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? but believe the Bible. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Is the devil going to be around when the Antichrist is around?
The Antichrist will be a form of the devil. As Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, the Antichrist is the devil in the flesh.
Okay. All right. The second beast couldn't be the devil. The second beast.
Well, it's another form of the devil. Just as like when the Holy Ghost comes, it's another form of God. Okay? When that second beast comes, he'll be that.
So are there three forms of the devil?
Yes, there are. He is a Trinity.
Trinity.
Yep. Remember he said, I will be like the Most High God.
Pastor. Didn't you say the third one was the false prophet?
Yeah, the false prophet.
That's the third.
Yeah, and that's whether he's that second beast or not, I'm not sure. I think it is the false prophet that heals him. So there's different titles given to him. But yes, you're exactly right, Trevor. That's a good job.
Just for salvation context, why did he make that vow? I would be like the Most High God. Just for context.
Because the Most High God was the highest thing out there, and he wanted to be that. Okay? It's like somebody coming in, looking at a place, seeing the boss, saying, that's what I want to be. What's amazing, and you have to realize this, if you want to get an idea of the devil's power, one third of the angels who'd been with God, watched God, listened to the devil, and were fully convinced that he could pull it off. Fully convinced he could make every electron and every star still run. Every leaf in the Canadian wilderness fall at the right time. Every single fish spawn where it's supposed to spawn. Are those angels stupid? No. But they became convinced, we think you can do it, okay? And we'd be better off with him doing it than this guy doing it, God. Miss Amy?
Where does Judas and the son of perdition fall into the three?
He is the Antichrist.
Okay, so he's
right. He is the Antichrist. Judas Iscariot is the Antichrist, okay? Jesus Christ said, have not I chosen 12 of you, and one of you is a devil. Okay? One of you is a devil. Later on, when Peter goes to replace Judas, he said, we're going to replace Judas, who fell and went to his own place. Okay? Whoever died and went to their own place, Judas. That's why when the Antichrist comes, it is him who was and is and will be again. All right?
I mean, he's got his own honeycomb in the walls.
Could be, yeah. And again, when Jesus Christ is hanging on a tree dying, what's Judas doing? Yeah. Hanging on a tree dying. Okay? You know, just in other words, I will be like the Most High God. You know, just that idea, that mimicry again. Yes, sir?
Well, those honeycombs that it talks about, you think all the 12 that the devil has, whatever, you know, do you think that's where they are, is in the honeycombs and not?
Well, here's what Trevor and them have talked about. In the book of Ezekiel, you get into Ezekiel 28, and it talks about the anointed cherub, and it covereth, and it talks about it called the king and the prince of Tyrus. And then it switches to Pharaoh. And it likens Pharaoh to a huge whale or a fish within in the river. Okay? And then it begins to talk to him like he's a real person, and then you realize he's talking to a spiritual being. And then you realize, oh, what he's done is he's changed the analogy from being the prince of Tyrus to Pharaoh. He's still talking to the devil. And it actually describes him as being in his chambers looking around at all these. He's down there in the pit of the earth, and there's all these chambers or honeycombs where people are stuffed into there. And he's looking around, he sees all these mighty men, and he's comforted. Misery loves comfort, you know, loves comfort. All right, and so if you go to hell, the devil's comforted by that. It's a comfort to him that you're there, okay? And so that's what he's talking about with those honeycombs and all the mighty of the earth in there. In other words, in that bottomless pit, that huge chamber in the middle of the earth that you can never hit the bottom because the earth's turning, Mr. Joshua.
When Mr. O'Dowell was here and he taught, he talked about the fact that when Jesus died, one of the things he did in that 3 days was he went down to paradise, taught, and also brought everyone there.
He took captivity captive, Paul says.
Well, after that, he also was on the right hand of God. This might, you know, be looking at something outside of what it's supposed to be, but being at the right hand of God, being in paradise, is that not Jesus' own place?
Well, he's taking it to heaven. It was actually called Abraham's bosom. But he's taking it to heaven with him.
I was wondering if there was...
Jesus could call that his own place, yeah.
Because I was wondering if there was another parallel to Jesus.
Yeah, there could be a parallel. That wouldn't hurt to call it that. All right. So the thing is, verse 13 again, he doeth great wonders, they make fire to come down from heaven and earth. All right, verse 14, and he deceiveth them that dwell in the earth. How? By the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Question is, who swung that sword? Who killed him? Bill Randall thought Peter did. And that makes sense. He's certainly the one who had the nerve to swing swords. Verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Now think of that. During the tribulation, the devil will have power to give life. That's what your Bible says. Okay? Whether you understand that or not isn't what matters. What matters is that's what it says. Okay? During the tribulation, the devil has the power to give life. Why? Let's go back to 2 Thessalonians. Dale hit it right on the head there. Amy probably gave it to him, and Dale's not there. Yeah. So 2 Thessalonians 2. Is that where you're reading them all, Ronnie? You don't know. Yeah. He gets more mixed up.
Thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Samantha and the smart people. All right. So 2 Thessalonians 2. He's talking about the Antichrist. Look at verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. So how in the tribulation, how much power does the Antichrist have?
All.
All. All. Amy?
When the 12 apostles were there too, and Jesus sent them out and gave them power.
That's right. Judas was one of them. Judas
was
one of them. Yeah. Right. And the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Okay. Because he was given that. So the thing is, again, this is what the devil's been lusting for ever since his fall. Okay. All power. So God gives it to him. And you know what? He still screws it up.
So is that why the devil has 12? Because those are his 12 apostles, like God?
Yeah. In other words, I'm sure he'll have 12 just like the apostles, you know, just like Jesus Christ did. But the whole idea is there. He's given all power, and he still loses. And again, you go back to Martin Luther, he's the one that wrote it, one little word shall fell him. What's God reserved to himself? God reserves to himself holiness, the word of God. And that ends up triumphing over all power. Okay, that becomes what's the absolute trump card. Not the Donald Trump card, the trump card.
Yeah.
All right.
Show us how that comes.
I kind of did.
Then why didn't you protect us, Josh? If you saw it coming, you could have protected us.
Because I like seeing him suffer.
Yeah, all right.
And number two, there is no protection against that man's bland jokes.
All right. All right. 15. And he had power, back to Revelation chapter 13, verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. This is when the second part of the tribulation is going on here. The first part of the tribulation, the first 3.5 years, it's all wonderful peace. The Antichrist deceives the world through peace, okay? You know, if you were going to rob an armed man, what's the first thing you want him to do? Put his gun down, okay? Convince him you don't intend to do him any harm, okay? Convince him, take the bullets out of the chamber, all right? Disarm the world, okay? And again, in the Old Testament, the single greatest false prophecy is peace, peace, when there is no peace, okay? That's the false prophecy. So the Antichrist deceives the world through peace. He's got the Arabs and the Jews dwelling together. He's got the Hindus and the Tamils and Ceylon living together in peace. I mean, he's got the gangs of Chicago living together in peace. They're all dwelling together in peace. And everybody says, isn't he wonderful? The second half of the tribulation, when he's exposed for what he is, that's when they go out and they begin to kill everybody. You don't have the mark of the beast, you didn't have this, you didn't have that, and they begin to kill and destroy. All right, verse 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now, the thing is, people have argued about the number and all that of the beast forever. And as long as there have been people, whatever's going on in their age, they've identified, this is it. All right? Again, I've told this before. When I was a kid, in the 1970s, they came out with barcodes. What's a barcode? Everybody knows what a barcode is. You go up there, you go to Walmart, you're trying to get the reader to read your barcode, okay? Those were brand new in the 70s, and I mean every pulpit in America said, that's the mark of the beast, all right? That, they'll put that on your hand, and they'll scan and see that you have it. And people bought into that, okay? They believed that. Now most people think it's radio frequency identity, where, for example, a lot of places will use individual tags. They'll put it on a pallet in a Walmart truck. Mm-hmm. And whoop, like this, it'll tell everything that's in that pallet. It's a radio frequency identification tag. And whoop, that's what they'll put on you, all right? It's always whatever the newest thing is. I think Peter Ruckman probably came the closest of anybody. What is the beast like? He's like unto a leopard. It says so. What's the mark of a leopard?
Spot.
What's a black spot? As like Peter Ruckman said, go take a white sheet, put charcoal over your lips and kiss that white sheet. You know what it looks like? Looks exactly like a leopard spot. How did Absalom get everybody to turn to him instead of David? By kissing them all when they came to the capital. How did Judas Iscariot? betray Jesus Christ with a kiss, okay? And so more than likely, the mark of the beast will be, you know, some high church uppity-up giving you that kiss, and, you know, it'll mark you, and that's where you'll be. Will there be more to it? I don't know. I don't particularly care. I don't plan on being there. Yeah, right. You know, they're all looking at things. I'm not going to do that. That's the mark of the beast. This is the mark. I mean, we've had people sitting here who thought that the vaccination was the mark of the beast. All right? It's the mark of the gullible, but it's not necessarily the mark of the beast. All right? You know, and it is really sad. Because, you know, I read the figures weekly, published weekly out of Minnesota. Why? Because there's a guy in Minnesota keeping all the figures. Over 70% of the people in Minnesota today with COVID had the vaccination. Okay, you can spread the you can spread COVID just as easily with the vaccination as without. The one protection from the vaccination, this is real. People 65 and older who have the vaccination have a better chance of not being hospitalized if they get COVID. And even then, it's not immune. It's about a 10% difference over those who didn't get the vaccination. People younger, we're going to run into problems for 30 years over the vaccination given to younger people. They guaranteed that there would be no live DNA in it. Now they've proven there is live DNA that's replicating inside of people. They guaranteed no toxins in it. Now they're finding all sorts of toxins in it. They're living, going into cells and such. So, you know, the big hope is that it'll just go away and just turn out to be a big stupid thing that people did at one time and got all convinced. But I was reading an article today written by the man who invented the vaccine. So he's no, Dr. Malone is his name. And he was going into all the experts who were saying it was safe and showing who they are. This guy works. Oh, he's a politician. Oh, this guy here has a degree in journalism. Oh, this guy here. They're the ones telling everybody that this is infallible and that it can't hurt you, all right? But when that vaccine came out, didn't they guarantee this will stop it? Boy, this will drop it. And it hasn't stopped anything, okay? It's a coronavirus, which is what a cold is, okay? No government's going to fight a coronavirus. In fact, the other thing is this. The nations that took steps, and the states that took steps, like shut down, stay in your house and that, they've had more excess deaths than the places that didn't. The real measurement is to go into a country and look at that country and find out what excess deaths were there. How many excessive deaths over the normal? Sweden, for example, which did zero shutdown. Zero. No schools were closed, no factories were closed, no restaurants were closed, nothing was closed. Has a zero increase in excessive deaths over the last 2 years. Okay? Right? Zero. Whereas the United States has one of the highest excessive death rates. They found, for example, that masks actually were causing more infection. Why? Because if you've ever worked in a nursing thing, masks always had to be fresh, always had to be new. You don't wear the same mask that you just did on surgery yesterday. All right? You think those school kids are putting fresh masks on?
No.
So the thing is, it's one of the best places to keep a coronavirus alive is on a mask. Okay? If you took that mask and changed it every 20 minutes or so, they'd be tremendous. But they're actually finding a slight uptick where there are mask mandates over where there weren't. Okay? And again, it's just that idea. And so you know what I hope? That out of all this, our country just learns. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yes.
You know, my other prayer has always been in this church that the people who went head over heels to segregate themselves and do everything exactly the governor said, and then the people who didn't do it, when it's all said and done, just get along.
Yeah.
Just be done with it. Just go on, live your life, you know. Go on, Mr. Randy.
You already jokingly said the whole vaccine was the mark of the gullible. What's to say 8-12 years down the road, the same exact thing will happen because some little aide decided to follow the instructions of some big queen in a three-piece suit on the news channel?
Well, we don't know. You just have to look. That's why everybody, you're supposed to be able to look at information, look at it, and look it for yourselves.
Go on from the news channel.
Yeah.
Okay, but going on that, Josh, you even said to me, your one relative was arguing to you, don't you trust the government? And you looked him dead in the eyes and said, no, with good
Randy,
reason.
Randy, before you took the shot, you don't remember. You used to be 6'3", blonde, muscle. And you don't even remember it.
Love you too.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, look at him.
All right, so the thing is 16 again. He causeth all both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of the name. Now watch 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding. Hey, Caleb. Is what you're saying more important than what I'm saying? I don't think so. All right. Just because you're better looking than everybody else doesn't mean you get to do that. All right. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of a beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Okay? That could be 600, 20, 20, 26, like a computer number. Is that what it said? Okay. That could be 666. Okay? And I've seen people do all sorts of things and turn upside down and everything else. And there's probably about 20 million ways you can go on a computer. And there's probably no person on earth that I couldn't pick them out and make them say 666 in some way or another, taking their social security number and divide it by their mother's ingrown toenails and, you know, everything else. And sooner or later, you're going to come out with all this and everything else. But it's got to be Judas Iscariot. And he's got to be a Roman citizen. And there's a number of things he's got to be. He's got to be a Jew. A lot of things. He's got to be black. Okay. There's a number of things. And he has to die. And he has to resurrect. Okay. And there's all those things that he's got to be. And he's got to be known as a man of peace. And people will say, what a man of peace. All right. And it will not, you be sure of this, be an American. You just mark that down, all right? Revelation 14, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads, okay? Now, this is the famous 144,000. For example, the Jehovah Witnesses, when they started, they really thought they were the 144,000, okay? Then when they got to 144,001, then they changed their theology, all right? They weren't the 144,000 anymore. This is 12,000 out of 12 tribes of Israel. These are Jewish male virgins who are purebred Jews, who God will use them to restock the nation of Israel. Because keep in mind, Genesis told you that God made a covenant in the flesh of the Jew. That's different than our covenant. Okay? Our covenant is not in our flesh. Okay? It's in the flesh of the Jew. So somewhere he has these out there, those 144,000, and just like, you know, the state of New York, they'll put fish in the stream and restock it or whatever else. God restocks Israel with these 144,000. Verse 2, and I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard voices of harpers harping with their harps. Okay? And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. In other words, God got those Jewish male virgins, took them off, and he has them. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they were virgins. Have a hard time finding that in the United States today. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever it goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. Where the church is the firstfruits of the Spirit. Here, these are the firstfruits unto God and the Lamb. Okay, different firstfruits in there. And again, let me say this. oft times we hear this thing with, you know, a woman, boy, she should keep her virginity to the altar and all that. Would to God men would do it. Mm-hmm. Would to God, all right? Would to God that men would keep themselves pure and absolutely whole and what they ought to be. And I have known men who absolutely had never touched a woman to take a woman who's quite experienced. And I've known it to work well. Because she married an absolute man with a capital M. All right? Absolutely masculine, absolutely in charge of who he was and what he's doing, and can handle that. Not some little wimp, oh, you had other guys, or whatever else. All right? But it's important, okay? Very important. The road to virginity isn't the road to abstinence. It's the road to be careful little eyes what you see, careful little ears what you hear, be careful little hands what you touch. It's far further back, all right, with that idea of making up your mind that I am going to stay this way, and it takes a true man to do it, okay? Too often guys are thinking, well, something's wrong with me, and guys laughing at them or whatever else, and that's just little wimps then running out and messing their lives up because they're afraid they're not a man. Well, that's good proof you're not a man. All right. Verse 5, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And this is what Jesus Christ said of Nathanael when he saw him, a man in whom there is no guile. David talked about that. Blessed is the man in whom there is no guile. What is guile? Guile's where when you're talking, there's some trickery behind it, okay? Something where you're trying to fool that person into something, one way or another, guile, all right? Mr. Josh?
I'm going to make a connection that may not be there, but would these be the Jews? Did you talk about before how Satan's going to try and kill all the Jews? Are these going to be the last Jews left that are, you know...
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Josh asked if they're the last Jews left. I don't know the answer to that. All right. Then it says this. Verse 6, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and every nation and kindred and tongue and people. So there's that extra thing thrown in. Nation, yeah.
You were talking about the gospel. You said there's seven different types of gospel. Is that one? Is that a?
Yeah, the universal, the angel that goes off, that universal gospel, yes. Gospel basically means good news. And so when gospel is used in different contexts, the question is, what good news are they talking about here? Okay. The dispensationalists make huge hay out of that, all right? But basically, it's just wherever you are, this is the gospel, the good news here, all right? All right, verse 7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. So imagine a time when the Antichrist is all powerful on earth. He's beginning to kill people, getting to force to take the mark of the beast, okay? And, you know, and such. So the angel's going out there, his basic gospel is fear God. Don't fear this Antichrist. Fear God, okay? That's the gospel that he's given out there. And worship him. 8, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen. That great city, because she made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, to understand that, you have to go back, first of all, who founded Babylon? Nimrod did, okay? He's the first iteration of the first time where of the seven heads of the dragon, seven men through history that rose up by the power of the devil to rule the world, Nimrod being the first one. What you end up having is a mixture then of that with the Jewish religion. That happens in the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, you have a very unique thing that goes on. You have a point where there's a young man, and this young man is of the tribe of Levi, and a man comes, and it starts out with his mother cussing because someone stole her money, okay? And so, you know, right off, it's a cussing people. And so then she says, I had wholly dedicated that to the Lord, okay? Then he said, well, Mom, I stole it. He gives it back to her, which he wholly dedicated. She gave him a part of it. Sorry, I make something for the Lord now. And which is typical of people, all right? When it was missing, oh, it was all for God. Oh, yeah, it's not missing. Part of it for God, all right? But the thing is they end up making an image out of it, and Israel is told, you don't make an image. Well, then the tribe of Dan comes along, and keep in mind, what's the prophecy on Dan? He's like a serpent, all right? And a lion's whelp. That's the prophecy upon him. He comes along, and he steals this young man and the image from this man, but the man calls the man younger than him father. He said, thou should be a father unto me. Yeah. Okay? Isn't that fascinating, taking a younger man calling him father? Is there a religion that does that today? Mm-hmm. Yes, there is. Okay? And what do? They make images. All right? And it's all images of Bible things, but they make images, which God told you not to make. All right? So the thing is, here's this younger man. So Dan comes along and steals him. Then they take off and they go up to what becomes Lebanon, Tyre, Sidon, all along there. And they take with them then this whole idea of worship the God of Israel, but as images. And you're going to call young men father. Your religious figures are going to be called father. And they take it there. So the Phoenicians then spread that through the world. Okay? That's mystery Babylon. That's taken the things of Babylon, spreading it out through the world. And that's why, for example, one of the great books ever written on that is called Hyslop, which is Bishop Hyslop, wrote it in the 1800s, published in, I think, 1916, but it's called The Two Babylons. And what he does is he proves to you that really the Romans had the same gods as the Greeks, and the Greeks had the same gods as the Babylonians. And he shows you that. For example, the Madonna figure. You know, the woman with the baby, and the baby is God. It's got a halo, and then there's God up here. And it's that figure they use. And it just changes names from Athena to her. And that's why, for example, Paul in Acts chapter 14, they want to call him Mars and Hermes and such. And, you know, they're giving him these names. So then what ended up happening, it's all mystery Babylon. It's all that Babylonian religion spread through the world. It's just changing names slightly as it goes from one culture to another. Finally, the Roman Empire rules the world with that. And in the year 300, Constantine converts Christianity into that. So what they do is they just take all the Roman feast days. They take all the old pagan days and all the pagan temples and just change it. Okay. Oh, so what used to be the messenger, which was one great Roman god, now it has a Christian name. It's given a saint's name. And what Hyslop does is he shows you the exact same temple with the exact same feast day with the exact same attributes that God has now that saint has in Roman Catholicism. And that basically it became the Babylonian religion. And that's why John, when he sees it later on, when we get to John 17, or Revelation, he's shocked when he sees it. He is, and with great admiration, oh my goodness, what is this? And he tells you, it's that city which ruleth over the kings of the earth. What city is that? That's Rome. It sitteth upon the seven hills. That's Rome, all right? Its symbol is a golden cup, all right? It's run by a man who is, won't touch women, all right? And so all those prophecies of the Antichrist. Now, keep this in mind. The Roman Catholic Church is not Mystery Babylon. What ends up happening when the Antichrist comes, he will take over the power of the Catholic Church. Why? Because they're a church which also has great political power all over the earth, mm-hmm. Okay? For example, Mussolini, it used to be the Pope was always his own kingdom. He ran Italy. And Garibaldi, who some of you know of Italian independence when they fought, he's fighting the Pope is who he's fighting for Italian independence. And they're actually literally fighting priests and bishops who are running the armies. They're the ones who run all of Italy at that time. And it impoverished the people. That's why when the Italians came here, they're just poor and wretched people living under that. Garibaldi overthrew that. So what Mussolini did in order to get power, the Pope one day in the 1920s ordered the Roman Catholic power of Italy to sit down. Just everybody resign. So I think 1922. They all resigned, and that's when Mussolini then went and took over. And the first thing he did was made the Vatican an independent state. It's not part of Italy anymore. It's an independent state. It's a country in its own right. They're back to having political power again. So they only went, in the entire history of the world, they only went for like a 60-year period of time where they did not have their own country. Okay, so it's the only religion that is a country. Okay, that's the power the Antichrist will come and take. But what they do is they are Mystery Babylon in the sense of the religion they propagate. Does that mean Roman Catholics? Look, my family's Roman Catholics. Okay, they're wonderful people. If you want to spend some time with some wonderful people, go spend time with my family. They're wonderful people, okay? The other thing is, one of the things frustrating to the Pope is he could never control American Catholics. And he tried very hard. He never could do it. There was a group called the Paulicans in the late 1800s that tried to assimilate American themes into Catholicism. And the Pope actually came down with a syllabus of errors that you could never say separation of church and state, all these things, and you're cursed if you do, and no Catholic in America paid any attention to it. And then in the 1930s, they realized that the number one source of revenue to the Vatican over the entire world was the United States of America. And since then, they've been real nice. All right? But... you know, just to give you an idea, the first saint ever made in America was a bishop in Philadelphia, somewhere in the 1980s. In order to be a saint, it always used to be that they have to dig up your body and it has to be preserved perfect. That's one of the signs of sainthood. So when they made this bishop in Philadelphia to be a saint, Mike Schweitzer, and some of you met him, he just died recently. Tim McVeigh consistently has been preaching in his church for years. Mike Schweitzer went through the line just dressed like a young ruffian because they had this unbelievably long line of people to go by this shrine. And so he says to the priest, "Was the body preserved?" And the priest said, "Oh, like a baby," and we were stunned. So then later he comes through, the exact same priest, Mike's got a suit and everything on, and he said, "I understand," he said, "that there has to be a certain degree of, preservation." And the priest said, "Yes, we found a remarkable amount of tissue in him that still hadn't deteriorated." In other words, the same man had two completely different answers for the preservation of the saint's body. So, but it's just, they've worked that all over the world. And they've had complete great political power. So when the Antichrist comes, that's the system he'll take. Okay, that's the system. He'll betray those people. Okay, in other words, he'll shoot the Pope or whatever and, you know, come in and take that over and run that whole system. All right. So it goes on and it's talking about Babylon has fallen. She made, and it says, drink the wine of the wrath of her fornication. When you go back to Ezekiel, and you go back to Jeremiah, and you go back to Isaiah, what was fornication there? It's when Israel began to go after other gods. Okay? Do you realize Baal just means Lord? That's the wrong name. Okay? It's like the name Yahweh today. That's a devil's name, but if you go all over church, "Oh, Yahweh." You know, the Burger King God, "Heavy Yahweh." You know? And it's a devil, all right? But there's people who worship Yahweh now, right in our churches. Songs written to Yahweh. All the new Bibles to Yahweh. And Yahweh is a devil. And the proofs of it are staggering when you look at them. Even the men who put Yahweh into the vocabulary admitted we got it from the Canaanite gods, all right? They were anti-Semitic and could not believe that the that the Jews had the right God. So they went and looked amongst the Canaanites, found a Canaanite God, and said, this is the true God. All right? And so now all over, songs and everything, people worshiping Yahweh. All right? And that's what the Jews did that time. They began to call him Baal, Lord. All right? But the wrong name. Okay? It meant something to God. You know, one of the great graces I got one time in my life was I had a hankering for a girl for a long time, but I had dated her roommate, and that made it too awkward to ever go out with her. And then a long period of time passed, and I thought, you know, it's safe now. And she actually was hitchhiking around the world, and her father wrote me a letter, said, if so-and-so ever comes to Greece, would you tell her to call home? I thought, wow. And I actually left instructions for when she called the main base where I was and such. And she was actually surprised when she got there. And wow, John, she said. And I'll never forget sitting in this apartment, in my friend's apartment. And boy, the time had finally come. And, you know, she's laying there in the ground. And I lean over and I called her roommate's name. And you want to know something? It just killed a lot. And I can thank God about it today, but at the time I really wasn't thanking God.
Well, way to go, Slick.
Yeah. You know, and out of it, God preserved me. Got the right woman out of it all. And so far, I've called her the right name. Now, she's called me a lot of names I don't think I'm right. But she maintains they're pretty accurate, but I'm not so sure, all right? But regardless of that, there's a lot in a name, and I think it upsets God to no end to be called the wrong name, all right? Thank God it upsets him a real lot.
Yeah, so.
It's all part of that Babylonian thing, and he calls it fornication. Verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead, or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. This is the cup that Jesus Christ drank. The cup of the wrath of God. There is no need for anyone ever to have to drink of that cup.
Right.
Jesus Christ drank of that cup, okay? But you better understand what he drank of. Better understand of what he thought of when he thought of you drinking that cup, okay? You're not going to slough by that, right? But you know what? He desires. He's not willing that any should perish, but that how many?
All
should come to repentance. All right. It says, verse 11, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. You know, it says in the book of 2 Thessalonians, for those that miss the rapture, it says God will send them delusion. Where you'll actually be so glad, man, you didn't listen to that junk he was talking about in Bible study, man, it never fooled me, you know. And you'll be absolutely convinced that you've found the right way. And boy, it says God shall send them strong delusion. God will do it. Where God makes up his mind, I'm going to see to it that that person is damned. They believe this junk. Okay? Verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, and they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. Upon the cloud sat one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap. For the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. This is what the parables of Jesus Christ talked about, that day when the angels go out and they begin to reap. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle in the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had the power over fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city. And blood came out of the winepress, even under the horses' bridles, for the space of 1,600 furlongs. And that's why it talks about in the book of Isaiah, Jesus Christ comes and he's covered with blood. He's ridden and the blood is up to the horses' bridles. Okay, where he reaps the wrath of God upon this earth. Don't be there for that period of time. All right? Don't be there. All right, Ronnie Scope, would you close us in prayer?
Father, thank you for what we heard this evening, Lord. Just pray that you would put a blessing upon us for it. Keep us safe this evening as we go home and bring us together again at the appointed time. In the name of Christ, amen.
Amen.